Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We got the week in review coming your way about 15 minutes from now at 12:45. It certainly was a week. A lot of stuff happened.
Sure did.
So you won't want to miss that.
Nope. We got a lot of stuff in here.
Before we get into the Celtics and Knicks, which I will say I'm excited for because it's going to have some juice to it. Could be a sweep. Celtics could roll over them. But Boston, New York, Celtics, Knicks, beyond the first round. Terp had this tweet. We highlighted it earlier. It's the first time they've met after the first round since 1984. So there's more stakes the deeper you are into the postseason. Like, I am excited about this series. But, Keith, you have a Keefspiracy.
I have a Keefspiracy.
About the potential moves for the Celtics.
All right. Try this on, see if it fits.
Okay.
Right now, you know, Shams is just the latest, but not the first, to talk about the Celtics this offseason are going to have to make major changes and get under the second apron and save a lot of money. To the point where now fans are getting kind of almost like expecting it for when it happens. Mm-hmm. What if new owner Wild Bill Chisholm is putting it out there like, we got to blow this roster up, we got to blow this roster up. Then his first move when he gets in is, I don't know where you guys heard that. We're keeping everybody. We're going for a Chief Pete. We're going to run this thing back. Everyone's like, oh my God, we thought this guy was going to be cheap. He's not cheap. He's bringing everybody back. Then it'd be like him, the most loved owner in town.
Because
right now he's setting everybody up. Yeah, he might.
Yeah, for a year until he blows it up the next offseason. But this is a great theory.
So he shows up and everyone's like, oh, what's he gonna do? What, like, break the bad news to us? He's like,
I'm not leaving.
Yeah. He goes Wolf of Wall Street on everybody, and they're nice. Like, this guy's amazing. He does have money.
Nice.
He's okay about the apron. This guy doesn't mind a second apron.
It's a great theory. He leaks it out.
Yeah.
He leaks it out to Shams.
And then goes against it.
Yeah. And then he goes, yeah, I don't know what that's all about. We're keeping this team together.
They're like, oh my God.
We're going for the season.
He is a fan from the North Shore.
Yeah, well, I'll adjust. If he does that, I'll adjust him to the
put
North Shore.
Put Georgetown in the North Shore.
Yeah, we'll put Georgetown in the North Shore.
He's just like us. That. You think chance of that? There's a chance of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Great theory.
I think so.
No,
crazy,
I mean,
enough to work.
I do hear a lot of this too. You know, Terp came in and he's like, well, why is this coming out now? Like, suspicious of the timing of it. And because it's like, well, when the sale happened, we thought moves could happen. And Wick told us months ago, not us, I'm sorry, told this radio station, Greg Hill's show.
Yep.
Great interview.
But we were listening.
Back in March, we were listening.
He told us, yeah.
He told this radio station that, you know, no team is going to stay in the leg. The clip we played you earlier this hour. No team's going to stay in the second apron, rather, for more than 2 years. So he told you changes are on the horizon. We did know that. For Shams to say that teams are coming out and anticipating moves this offseason, I think that's another level to the reporting, personally. But maybe Chisholm, Keith, to your Keefspiracy, is just trying to throw everybody off the scent.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants some credit for keeping it together. It's a good theory. You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. We'll get to the Celtics and the Knicks, round two. Coming up here in just a moment. First, let's knock out some phone calls. Adam is in Western Mass. Go ahead, Adam.
What's going on, boys?
Hello.
So I love that theory. I think it's a great theory, but I think they're going to do something more in the middle where it's Hauser and Drew Holiday are the ones on the way out, And you've been keeping J.D. Davidson down in the G League for how long? And he's blooming down there, and a guy like Shireman fills the Hauser role, and he's a little more athletic, can defend better. So I think it'll be somewhere in the middle with a move like that.
I don't think Holiday's in the middle. Like, Hauser, I don't care about. You can replace Hauser with Shireman, Baylor Shireman.
Shireman, Hauser probably aren't a huge difference.
No.
I got to say, Drew Holiday, I know, is older. But to think you could just swap him out with J.D. Davidson, I feel like
that's
a bit of a stretch.
It's a big move. You can make a case.
And he had a good year in the G League. I know he's like the MVP of the G League. So I'll give him that.
You can make a case. Drew Holiday was the biggest difference going from losing to the Warriors in the finals two years ago to winning it last year.
But this is where it gets a little bit muddy. So last year, Porzingis was the one that was in and out, and we could argue they won it without him. A couple good moments, but they won it without him. Drew Holiday has already missed three games. I know it's three games against the Magic.
Right.
But if he's in and out and they still win it,
A little
bit easier to spin.
No, 100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, if they beat the Magic and even the Knicks, I wouldn't apply much to that. But if they start beating Cleveland and then a team like OKC without him, then for sure.
Then
I would say you don't need
him.
I'd say the same thing I would say about Porzingis. That's fair. This is a good one from the Twitch chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. The timing for this is suspect. It's teams trying to get in the heads of the Celtics. Well, then you think teams can get in their heads. That's what I was asking earlier.
Yeah.
So
the Magic kind of did. Now, it didn't. I mean, that helped them win a game, I guess.
No, but I just mean, like, the idea that these reports are out there that can get in their heads. And text line said this as well. 617-779-7937. Shocker. Jones thinks these talks will disrupt instead of galvanize. Well, it's just, I told you I don't know. I said I if I had to pick, I would think it's probably more disruptive than anything. But I acknowledge that this is going to impact them one way or the other. It could galvanize them for one last
round. But I do think, like, every year, every team, like, you look around and there are guys that aren't under contract for next year, or their name is in trade rumors.
Not every team has a new owner coming in. That's not every team.
No, that is fair. But I'm saying, even if you don't have a new owner, if you don't have your contract, you're playing in the playoffs, but, like, you don't know where you're going to be, or you don't know where your teammate's going to be. So I feel like from year to year, there's so much change in the NBA. Star players move teams all the time. These guys have played with how many teammates in just the last 5 years, all the different guys that have rolled through?
But it is rare a team coming off a championship that's still good and contending for a championship. We don't know where this is going to land.
Yeah, the last time was probably, well, I mean, Durant, I know he got hurt, but then he just chose to leave.
Yeah, but
he could have stayed with Golden State.
He chose to leave.
Yeah, but those other guys on the team probably were like, is he staying? I'm saying it's a thinker.
But they didn't win.
Well, I think if they were healthy, they may have.
Maybe.
Yeah, that had more to do with ripped Achilles than it did, you know, hurt feelings.
Perhaps. We'll never know.
No, we won't.
Tony is in West Springfield. Go ahead. It's Big Head Tony, by the way.
All right, Big Head Tony.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I feel like they went over the apron way before they were going to sell, not only because Brad had awesome trades, but because, like, they're going to sell. So why not, you know, inflate the value? We could trade half these players and get so much back. But I'd rather get rid of the older players. Holiday, Zingas, I'd rather not do a Jalen trade unless he's like asking out, you know. But why not build for the future and get some veterans back in the meantime?
Okay. I don't think you're not trading them for basketball reasons. You're not going to get much back. You're just saving money. So I don't think they're going to get much in return. I wouldn't hold my breath for
Especially if you're going to re-sign Al Horford. That's another one, because you look at the projected money for next season, and that includes nothing right now for Horford. So if you move on from Holiday, you move on from Hauser, maybe you can re-sign Horford, but that's it. Like, that's then your team. Like, you don't have any real wiggle room.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath on getting too much back for those guys. I would move Porzingis before Holiday. We discussed this earlier. Neither of us think this applies to Jaylen Brown.
I hope not.
If you would have asked me this last year before they had won a title, and before Jaylen took over in the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals, I would think Jaylen was a part of it. Even I no longer feel that way. So I think it's less than that, but I think we're talking about much bigger players than Pritchard and Hauser and guys like that.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. What do you think of the Celtics and the Knicks in round two, Keith?
I am looking forward to the juice part of it just because it's Boston, New York. I would say Boston, New York has all good rivalries. This might be one of the worst ones.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, and that's the Knicks' fault. The Knicks have been bad for so long. They had the one playoff series back in 2013 when the Knicks actually beat the Celtics. But for the most part,
like Bruins-Rangers would be better.
Bruins-Rangers is better.
Pats-Jets for like the 2 years the Jets were good would be better.
Pats-Giants is better.
Yeah, good call. Sox-Yankees goes without saying.
Right.
Even when it's down, it's still a good rivalry.
This is probably the worst one. And, you know, watching Celtic City, they're like not even in it. It's like they had a grudge match with the 76ers. They had a few series Pistons. With the Bucks, the Pacers, the Pistons, the Lakers. Like the Knicks aren't even in it. But it's still Boston, New York.
That's a good point.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah.
Like they were just never good at the same time. Because then like the Patrick Ewing years, the Celtics sucked.
Right.
But the Celtics, anyway. So I like that aspect of it. I think it's going to be, you know, fun just because they got some good players over there. Like Jalen Brunson, Karl-Anthony Towns, some household names for NBA fans. But I think they actually match up worse than the Magic do. So the next round should be tougher. I don't think it will be for the Celtics. They beat them 4-0 in the regular season. Three of the games were blowouts. And then the other one, you got to see a clutch Tatum shot and a win in overtime. So I think they roll in the series.
So I thought they'd roll against Orlando. And I get it. The Orlando's scrappier than the Knicks. The Knicks, to your point, Keith, have way more talent too. So if the Celtics struggled with Orlando one game more than I thought they'd sweep Orlando, went five. I could see this one going six. But the Celtics are winning it, no problem. They're going to get past New York, and I don't have any question they'll get past New York. I do wonder if Detroit would have been more in the Orlando vein, where it would have been a tougher, more physical, more annoying series. Like, I think the Pistons have more of that than the Knicks do. But from like an excitement, interest level, juice standpoint, I am looking forward to this series because Detroit wouldn't have brought that.
No.
Unless you're a hardcore NBA fan, if you're just a casual fan, you don't really even know Cade Cunningham. Never mind Jalen Duren and Malik Beasley and guys like this. So the Knicks to me are much better from that standpoint.
And Detroit had a good crowd in their series. I think they're thrilled to have basketball back.
It was a good environment last night.
But I think this will have that too. Like, you didn't have that in Orlando, but going from garden to garden is going to be a lot of fun.
It'll be great.
Both places are going to be crazy. You'll have, you know, Ben Stiller. Does Tracy Morgan go to games anymore? I know he had an issue there. With the food.
I don't. Is that what it was?
I think he had a little issue.
I don't think he's.
Maybe not.
I don't know. I haven't followed it very closely. I can't imagine he's welcome back there.
You'll have, you know, Ben Stiller. You'll have some of those other guys hanging out. Spike Lee,
clearly. Tracy Morgan, guy we're concerned about.
Yeah, good one.
Would have been a good one.
Should have put him on there.
Damn.
What are you doing? Now I've gone over this list ahead of time.
So if we did the list.
Top 10.
Top 10. Mel Kiper.
Top 10 Tuesday. Yeah. Mel Kiper. Tracy Morgan. Sammy Sosa.
Terp just tweeted this out. Joe Mazzulla is doing a Zoom right now, and he says Drew Holiday remains day-to-day. So, no, hey, he's going to play. You don't know if that's gamesmanship or if he truly is day-to-day. That would be the one chance the Knicks would have, because Holiday was good in their regular season matchups with New York. He's a really important player when it comes to, I think, this series in particular. So, if he doesn't play the first few games, that would be really the chance, I think, for the Knicks to steal a game.
Yeah, either way, they're getting past New York.
Agreed.
But it's more difficult without Drew Holiday, for sure. And as far as we know, he hasn't even been practicing. So he doesn't sound like he's particularly close. I mean, you can call it day-to-day, but in the playoffs, they're all day-to-day. I wouldn't say, meaning all injuries are kind of discussed that way for, as you said, gamesmanship. So it doesn't sound like he's particularly close. I don't think they need him against New York, but it would make the series more difficult for the Celtics. And he is a guy I think you want long-term. Like, you're going to want him in that Cleveland series. You'll definitely want him in the NBA Finals. And so I wouldn't jeopardize that either. Real quick, I asked you this earlier. Most clutch player in the series, you went with Tatum.
Yep. Definitely Tatum.
You don't feel good about it?
No.
I'll tell you, I went with Brunson. I don't feel great about that. Brunson, before he hit the three last night, missed a million shots.
Yeah, he did. I mean, Tatum, we've seen him just because with Tatum and Brown, we've seen every one of their late-game shots. With Brunson, you know, some. So I would lean Tatum, knowing that it's certainly not perfect. I would say Donovan Mitchell has, like, that's the guy I'm the most scared of late in the game in the Eastern Conference. Maybe even in the NBA. He sort of morphed
Curry.
Up there. Curry, terrified. Yeah. Terrified of Curry.
Yeah.
But Mitchell might be up there. This series is probably a little bit more even. You know, I think Knicks fans probably have as much confidence in Brunson as Celtics do, and maybe Brown or Tatum. But I guess I'll go slight edge Tatum.
617-779-7937. I go slight edge Brunson. I might have Jalen second on my list before I even got to Tatum. But again, the games have to be close for clutchness to matter.
Like, right. There might not be any of those.
If the Celtics
games
are blown out by 25, it doesn't matter that Brunson's more clutch. We'll continue with all your feedback. We'll get back to the Patriots at 1 o'clock. But on the way next, it's time for the Week in Review.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI. It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Everybody pile in the minivan, we're going!
And worst...
You guys were as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keith's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
Wow! What a week it has been here on Jones and Keith's WEEI. In fact, all of WEEI. We actually have some stuff from every show.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
That just means the other shows passed muster this week. I think that's all that means.
They had the Greg Hill Show had the gentleman, the founder of Legal Seafoods on earlier today, or earlier in the week. I think it was on Tuesday. And he had a good story, ties in pretty nicely with our Celtic City rewatch or watch with involving Red Auerbach.
The great thing about Red is that he would just call it out as he saw it. So I remember when we first opened in D.C., Red kind of took me under wing and introduced me to some of his friends down there. And so on one call, I said, Red, we're going to get together for lunch. He goes, yeah. He goes, you know what, but I got a complaint. I go, okay. You know, because when Red had a complaint, you listen to him because he usually was spot on. He goes, I had your clam chowder in Costco. And I go, the flavor's pretty good. He goes, but there was a problem with it. Not enough clams.
Got it. And,
did you dump out of that, Shine?
You did. Right, yeah, I did. Right. I had to.
Not enough. Good job, though. Not enough effing clams.
I'll use F in it.
I love a good F-bomb.
So
Roger Berkowitz on there. Yeah, pretty nice. Pretty good story. Need more effing clams.
Really,
apparently.
It's a pretty significant shot. You're talking to the man running Legals, and you're like, "Put some more clams in there." You cheapskate.
Need more clams.
Yeah, seriously, man.
If you're Red Auerbach, you can say it.
Yeah, you can.
Put your cigar out.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. You can't taste it if you're filled with cigar smoke.
Right, maybe your taste buds have just been.
Don't trust it.
Singed to the core. Yeah.
Now we earlier in the week, I think it was on a Tier Tuesday. In fact, we were talking about sports couples. Right, we were tiering sort of some of the weird relationships that we have seen over time, obviously sparked by Bill Belichick and Jordan. But here's one that I remember burning hot early on. Now we don't talk about it as much, but this is one.
Justin Verlander, Kate Upton.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Okay, so there's a little bit of an age gap here, too. I mean, it's not Belichick.
No.
Yeah, it is.
No, I'm saying it's not the Bill age gap. What's their age gap?
How old is Verlander?
40? Two? I'm going to guess they're 15 years apart.
No, they're only 10 years apart.
Okay, yeah. It's not that.
Yeah, but when they first got together, she was how old? Well, they've been together a long time.
That might be a gray area. That's a good point.
Like, wasn't she like 20 maybe?
Yeah, probably.
And he was 30?
Yeah.
No, I know as you get older, like the age gap is less significant, but I think she was pretty young.
What are you saying?
I'm not saying anything. Now, there were...
I think this one's all right.
Okay, but there was also photos released.
I'm going to...
All right. Come on.
Best drop ever.
Well, he has to bleep it.
Yeah, well, whatever.
I know. Yeah, I guess you have to.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't air it.
No, they seem to be a very happy couple. She was ripping Rick Porcello when Verlander didn't win the Cy Young.
Yeah.
They seem like a happy couple.
They seem very happy. See the photos of them in the bathroom mirror. Just big smiles.
Is that what it was? You saw the you noticed the big smiles.
You think just kicks it up to Ike Arumba?
It's
a little spicy.
Yeah, I think it did get kicked up a notch. It's just like, oh, that's a nice. They're a very successful couple.
Yeah.
You can go check out the tiers at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. Those have been posted.
Yeah, you can see
those couples all
Brian Urlacher and Paris Hilton. But you can see all of those.
That's all good.
Yeah.
Kiefer Madness on Tuesday. We had a bit of a creature feature for you. The old snake in the margarita glass.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
And that led to this.
I leaned in to take a sip, and I noticed that something hit me on the forehead, and I looked at my husband like, what was that?
Not now.
At least my husband. I need at least one more margarita before that.
Wait till we get home. We're at the margarita, in, or we're at the
Patron.
The Patron in Richmond.
Yeah, please. Yeah. This is public. Get me another drink.
I looked at my husband. Not tonight.
Girl, they would have been taking me to the king.
She came to this Mexican restaurant for a margarita, and instead she left with a side of snake.
Dare I say,
side of snake.
Dare I say, just a perfect story for Kiefer Madness.
That's it.
Like when I picture Kiefer Madness, that really had it all.
Right. If you had to describe, if you had to give one story to break it down, it'd be a snake fell from a ceiling in a Mexican restaurant into a lady's margarita.
With random drops from the newscast and or people being interviewed with sexual innuendo. Yeah. That is really what knocks it out of the park.
After a snake fell on her head.
Yep, pretty much. All right, let's go to WEEI Afternoons.
Oh, nice.
Where Ted Johnson weighed in on everything going on with Bill Belichick.
That I think the UNC Carolina Tar Heels should consider firing Bill Belichick. That they should consider letting him go at this point. It's a lot of money, and they're deep into, obviously, their preparation for next year. But I look at Bill Belichick, and I wonder if he's fit to coach an NFL team, let alone fit to coach a college team, which, again, I put more onus on the character and personality and just overall a character, if you will, of a college coach than I do a pro coach. And so I'm worried that Bill Belichick just isn't fit to coach college kids, and UNC should consider cutting ties with Bill Belichick.
Okay.
They're playing him off.
Ted, yeah.
So it's almost like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Like,
it's
that's
like,
enough.
There's like pressure there.
So Ted John, yeah, you hear that.
I got to wrap this thing up.
Pull the zip cord, get out of there. So he says they should consider firing. They should have a long think about it.
Yeah.
Maybe they will.
I mean,
maybe they are.
I initially chalked that up again as sour grapes from Ted.
Sure.
I'll tell you what, Ted was ahead of the curve on that one.
Might have been.
Yeah.
Might have been. We also had a chance this week to weigh in on the biggest topic of conversation that has hit the internet in a long time.
Would you rather bet on 100 humans or one gorilla to win a fight?
My first knee-jerk reaction is the 100 humans would actually win, but 50 of them might die.
Right. We had a promo about this. Not just die.
Oh.
Get their face ripped off.
Blood bath.
Ears ripped off. Like, if you're one of the lucky humans to survive and ultimately take out the gorilla,
you need to get like 50 like death row guys that are going to be like ready to go. Like, listen, we have no chance.
But you're just lucky that you were one of the, I'm with you on this. The humans would ultimately overwhelm
it's too many,
the gorilla.
Right? 100?
But the people that the gorilla takes out, and there will be people.
Mortal Kombat like fatalities.
It will be ugly.
Yes. Yeah.
It will be gruesome.
Yeah.
It will not be the way you want to go out. So that now is just a numbers game.
They're going to live the rest of their life remembering and knowing and being reminded that they fought this gorilla.
But have a great story.
Yeah.
A story to have. It was me and 99 of my friends.
99 best buds. We got together. And I always, in my head, when everyone's like, who would win in a fight, this versus this, I kind of think like open field.
Okay.
Like giant open field. Because once you get into like
the gorilla's terrain.
Yeah, like
the mist.
If I'm in the mist, this takes place in the mist.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm taking the gorilla in the mist. If you're gonna pin me down. You know what Jones would say.
Girl, they would have been taking me to the king.
So we ended up landing
people. That's how you tie it all together. Yeah, people.
I'm not super confident in it.
No, we went with people. That's the definition of a Pyrrhic victory. It's like we lost a lot of good men out there, but we won.
We also got to hear from this is actually the first time, so this is not necessarily a week in review, but it's very timely.
Oh.
You know who also talked about 100 men versus one gorilla?
I don't.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I have a very strong opinion. I even watched like some MMA guys breaking down this kind of stuff. And of course, it depends on the skill level, the size, the humans.
Right.
Yeah, but it does.
It was my opinion even before I gathered all the information, and I think this is correct, that like about 20 average humans would put up a good fight and possibly beat one.
Oh!
This is what everybody thinks. Oh, gorilla will grab you and just crush your skull like this. We sacrifice 5 guys to just get on the gorilla.
Sacrifice?
So 20
Okay. So Porzingis did a lot of research, and not only is he taking the humans, he thinks you only need 20.
But
5 of them you're sacrificing.
5 of your 20 are dying. I don't like those odds.
Right. Well, I mean, I thought it'd be like 50 dying.
No, but I'm just saying. 100. But he doesn't. But he, on the one hand, he's like only 20 people is what you would need to take down a gorilla.
But he's also
a quarter of you die.
Yes. But he's also saying like you need to pick a certain 20. You can't just be like, 20 people off the street go fight a gorilla. You need to get, like, trained fighters, people who are in good shape, people who know how to handle themselves. But he did a lot of research, it sounds like, so I'll take his word for it. I mean, I couldn't be one of those 20, but I'm saying if you had, like, 20 John Jones, Brock Lesnar's, maybe he's right.
I still think the gorilla's doing damage.
How much does a gorilla
20
weigh?
People. I think you can pick any 20 people you want, no shot. 20 people?
Yeah. A gorilla is 350 pounds.
Okay. It's muscle, though.
Yeah, but they're like 5'11". They're my height. No, 5'11", 600 pounds.
There you go.
Say 350 sounds
That sounded
small.
Way low.
No,
yeah.
I don't know why.
The guy on that.
The guy on Florida bigger than that.
That like popped up on the on Bing, and then I went to Wikipedia, though, and it says they reach heights between 4'1" and 5'11". So let's say 5'11".
Let's take a tall one.
They weigh between 220 and 600.
Yeah, I mean, 4'11", 220.
You know what their wingspan is?
They'll take me out. What's the wingspan?
Much bigger than Will Campbell's. It is 8 feet 6 inches.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They got the reach. They got the reach.
Yeah, he was sub 80 inches. So, yeah. Nice. Well, they go. Let's just say it's 20 Will Campbell's. Yeah. The gorilla wins.
And they tend to live between 35 and 40 years, so maybe you just wait them out. It's like, here's
isn't that when you get into like a silverback gorilla?
You get a short.
Oh, a silverback gorilla?
You get a short.
I think this is a really old gorilla.
A short, light, old gorilla. I think we'd have a chance.
If you got a 4 foot one,
I didn't realize
220 pounds.
I hadn't thought that out yet. We
old gorilla.
Right on death's door, just not a banana away.
Right.
And then, you know, if we could get one of those, we had done so much time thinking about picking the right humans.
That's true.
You got to pick the right gorilla.
Pick the right gorilla.
That's what we weren't thinking
of. Yeah, you scroll through. Not that one. Not that one. He looks pissed. How old's that one? Yeah, give me that one. He's 39. Let's wait him out.
Walking around with a cane.
Yeah. Let's wait him out.
Okay. He looks like he's got
just
back.
Negotiate with him.
Bad back. Okay. So that's the week in review?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I kind of like...
That's the week in
review.
Well,
number one, I like mixing in stuff from the other shows. Number two, I like just throwing in a curveball with a brand new drop. Or a brand new audio clip.
A little Porzingis.
Yeah, how about that?
I
hadn't heard that yet. Good stuff. It's the week in review every Friday, 12:45, here on Jones and Keefe. Let's get back to the Patriots. More from Drake May on Joe Milt. We've been taking the task, Keefe, for our reaction yesterday to Drake May on Joe Milt.
By whom?
Nesson.com seems
to
have
these guys again.
Got a bee in their bonnet for us.
I love how they claim we're clickbait when they're just using our stuff for clickbait.
Let's get
to that.
Let's get
to
that.
It's the inception of clickbait.
And also, let me give you this. More reasons to like Will Campbell. This I want to get to coming up next.